Now, those statements are true. They're true particularly if you are a Christian. And I always like to tell people very simply, there has to be a point in time, sometime in your life, where you came to Christ and you said to Him, I surrender to You. I'm a sinner and lost, but I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that He rose from the dead on the third day. And I believe and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That has to be done sometime in your life. My mother taught Sunday school for 40 years before she prayed that prayer. Oh, excuse me. It is on. I can use this other one. Okay. As I said, my mother taught Sunday school class for 40 years and she didn't know Christ. She attended church 50 years and she didn't know Christ. She would be what we would call a religious person. She went to church. She did everything she was told to do. She didn't really read her Bible because it wasn't important to her. And so after she'd been in church for about 50 years, she attended another church where they told her, and for the first time she heard the fact that you have to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. It's a personal thing. You do not become a Christian by joining a church. You do not become a Christian by being baptized. You do not become a Christian by anything that we do. We become a Christian by receiving Christ and what He has done. And that has to be very clear. And some people go to church all their lifetime and they never get that information. It's a sad thing. It really is. Well, I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen with you or me. So, that's the issue. Now, I want to start a message here, but I probably won't finish today. And this message is very simply this. I want you to understand your soul. Now, we talked about the fact that we all are a living soul. That's what you are. You have a spirit. You are a soul, and you live in a body. Our body is temporary. Our soul is permanent, regardless of where it goes after we die. Now, our soul is important, so therefore I want us to take a little look at our soul in these days. If you were buying a brand new car, if you really had an interest in it and how it performed, you'd look at the car from the outside and you say, boy, that's beautiful. It's shiny. It's new. You'd open the door and say, boy, that smells good. Smells like a new car, you know. And so, but if you really wanted to know about that car, you'd have them open the hood. They would show you in there an engine. And they would tell you about this engine. They'd tell you how many miles per gallon. They would tell you how many horsepower. They'd tell you all these things. And it would all be nice and new and it'd look beautiful in there. But you really don't, a car doesn't mean much unless it has a good performing engine. It doesn't make any difference what it looks like. And so it's the same thing with you and I. God has a way for you to know whether your soul is running properly or not. So we're going to look under the hood of your life, and we're going to look at the soul. And so, you know, we don't have a soul. We are a soul. A soul is a mind, will, emotions, conscience, all of those things. And we'll be talking about those. And so I want to talk about how the soul operates because this is important to know. Now, an engine will operate smoothly if all the parts are working. Now, I know these are old-fashioned terms, carburetors and plugs and wiring and all this stuff, and you got all this under the hood, but it's not going to do much good unless it's all working together and all working in harmony. And that's the same way with us. God wants us to work in perfect harmony. So therefore, we have to look at our soul, all the various complex parts, because your soul is a lot more complex than an engine of a car. And so it is more important. It is extremely important how we look at it. And so your personality is how you show your soul to other people. That's what your personality is. You talk to somebody and say they have a certain personality. Well, that's how you perceive them. That's how you perceive their soul. Their personality is in their soul. And your personality is how you're going to show yourself to other people. Then, your character is the actual state of your soul, what it is, what it's like. And so, every one of us stores up information in our soul. We get information from all over the place. We get information from newspapers, TV, friends, family, school teachers, Sunday school, church, the Word of God, if you're in your Bible and you understand your Bible. And so we get information from all these places, and we store up this information in our soul. Now, some of it's good and some of it's bad. Some of it's going to help us and some of it's going to make us worse, if I can use that word. So, some of it's going to be harmful. Now, you operate in your soul according to the information that you take in. If you take in the information of God, you're going to operate in the principles of God. If you take in the principles of the world, you're going to operate in the principles of the world. What we take in from God is permanent. What we take in from the world is temporary. If we can understand that, it'll help us in the way we think. Now, you are much more complex than any car that was ever made. You have DNA, you have millions of cells, you have all kinds of things going on in your body, and all these things have to work together if you're going to live on this planet called the Earth. Now, they've made more cars more complicated these days, so sometimes you have to take it to somebody to get them fixed. But the issue with our soul is that the only place you're going to get your soul fixed is have a relationship with the one that created your soul, and that is God Himself. So, in other words, a person's not going to understand how they work unless they have a relationship with, in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you find out how your soul works from Him, and then He gives you an assignment on this earth. If I had a show of hands this morning, how many people are completing their assignment that God gave them? I doubt very many hands would go up. Very simply because we have neglected the relationship with the Creator, and we have not received the information into our soul that we need to know in order to function not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. So this is extremely important. You can go to church, not know this information, not take it in, but hopefully we're not going to have these problems. Now, your soul is made up of various parts. And I'm going to name what they are, and then I'm going to go through these parts, and we'll see how you're doing. We're going to have a test. The first thing is the value system that you're operating by, or your world view, sometimes that is called. What is your value system? The second thing, how about your attitude? How's your attitude? What is your motivation? What is your reasoning in your mind? How is your imagination working? Because that's important. We have a conscience, you see. And then we have a will. That's our capacity to make choices in life. Your value system is your view of life. How do you look at life? Why are we here? Where are we going? That type of thing. Your attitude is how you approach your life. That's what an attitude is. The motivation is what excites you in your life. What motivates you? What causes you to get up on a daily basis? Your reasoning is what you believe is truth. Your imagination is your unique ability to create the things that God has called you to do. That's your imagination. Your conscience is the boundaries of life. Where have you set the boundaries of your life? Where you say, I'm not going to go past this boundary. I'm not going to do this because it's harmful. That's what our conscience does. And then our will guides us to where we're going to end up at the end of our life. Every decision we make will determine where we're going to end up when it comes to the end, and it will. First thing I want to talk about is the value system or the worldview. I'm going to talk about three of them. You can figure out where you're at. The first worldview says very simply, there is no God. This view says everything is physical, everything's material, and when we die, that's it. We cease to exist. There's nothing after death. We better live for this life because we have 60, 70, 80 years, whatever we have, and at the end of it, we just cease to exist. In other words, some people believe we just become fertilizer for the earth. You say, who believes that? Well, you ever seen this where they cremate your body and they put it in an urn and it dumps that out on the ground somewhere in a special place or in a river, and so you become a part of the trees and a part of the grass or a part of fish food. Now, that's what some people believe. There's no God. What difference does it make? What we do, we can do anything we want to because it's all temporary, it's all meaningless, and there's no real purpose, and there's no eternity. So what difference does it make how we live? I'm sure you know people like that. The second one is, and in the second one, you can either be a Christian or a non-Christian, because I've seen Christians with this view. They say the present is primary. Maybe there's a heaven, maybe there's a hell, but what I do now is the most important, and I'm not going to worry about those things. Maybe I will when I'm ready to die. And so you believe that... People are not willing to wait for anything. They want instant everything. And you know how that is. And if nothing else, they want the government to take care of them and end this life and that kind of thing. Really no motivation for anything. There might be a God, but if there is a God, he'll have to accept me because I'm basically good. There's a lot of people that believe that mankind is basically good, and that's just the opposite of what the Bible teaches, you see. And so with this worldview, many of them will say, I want my pleasure now. But some of them have the ability to say, I'm going to get an education. I'm going to wait for my pleasure. I'm going to get an education, make a lot of money, and then I'm going to retire early and just enjoy life. And if there's a God, I'm sure that he loves me and I'll be okay at the end, you see. And so that's another way of looking at life. But then there's a third view. And this third view is the one we must have if we're going to be pleasing to God. The third view says there is a Creator, there is a God, and we are responsible to Him. And there's going to be a test at the end of life. And He's going to test us on how we did. If you're a Christian, you will go to heaven. If you did well in this life according to the principles of God, you'll get rewards. If you do not do well in this life according to the principles of God, you're going to have to go to school all over again and learn what you didn't learn in this life. This worldview says not only is there physical and material and temporary, but there's also an eternity. Then God chose us, as we have said, to be with Him forever. That God has potentially chosen every person to be with Him. But not every person is going to be with Him. Number one, if they do not receive Christ as their Savior. And then number two, not everybody's going to receive rewards unless they pay attention to what God has for us in this life, because we know this third view is that this life is very simply the schoolroom for eternity. We are preparing for eternity. The most important thing in life is not this temporary life, but what we're going to be in eternity. That's the most important thing. And so therefore, we should be preparing now for eternity. And that's what I teach, how to prepare you now for eternity. Number one, know Christ personally. He's not some God at a distance up there someplace. He's a God that came from heaven to an old rugged cross on a hill called Calvary in Israel, and shed His blood personally for you. So therefore, you must be worth something because God died for you, but He'll not make you come to Him. You have to choose to do that. And so you have to choose for Him to come. Now, so what really is eternity is more important than now, because eternity is going to last forever where this life lasts for a few years. So it's kind of like you go to school for a certain number of years and then you live out the rest of your life hopefully using the information you got in school. Well, this life is the school. We're learning of God. We're learning how to be pleasing to Him. We're learning how to prepare for heaven. The Bible says that God actually, in eternity, wants to be as close to you as a husband and a wife. So He said that in heaven, there's going to be a marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ and yourself if you end up in heaven, and if you have prepared in this life for that ceremony. I've said this many times before, but if two people are going to get married, the bride-to-be particularly has a lot of work to do. She has to get the invitations out. She has to get the place where with the groom. She's going to pick out a place to get married. You're going to decide who you're going to invite. You're going to prepare who's going to stand up with you. You're going to determine, I like that, who's going to stand up with you. Who's going to stand with you in heaven? Who are you interested in standing with you in heaven? That's it. And who are you going to have stand up with you? And that's those that you love. And so it's important that you know this information, and the ones you know this, that you love, know this information, or they're not going to be there. And so that's why we do what we do. That's why we teach the Word of God. We prepare people to go to be, not only go to this wedding, but to be in this wedding. And it takes preparation, and your entire lifetime, from the time you get saved till the time Christ comes, is getting ready for that ceremony in heaven. So I think it would be a good, interesting idea to compare all of the things that you prepare in a wedding as you would prepare in the same way for the wedding with Christ in heaven. And like I keep on saying, because it's so important, back in the Jewish times, the bride made her wedding dress. She didn't go to that high-priced place on television and get her wedding dress. That didn't happen. She made it a thread at a time. She wove that dress with her life. In fact, that dress was her life. Every decision she made, every thought that she had, every act that she did was preparing the wedding dress. And that's so you could say that the wedding dress that we would be, our garment, should I say, that we are going to be in when we stand with the Lord at the wedding ceremony, was the one that, as they say in Scrooge, forged in life. Forged in life. Now, if you've seen that movie, Scrooge, how many have seen that movie? Just about everybody. And so the issue is, that old Marley came back from the dead, and he said, Scrooge, don't you mess up your life like I did, because I'm bound in chains for eternal hell forever, and I don't want you to be there. Now, it's not likely that somebody you know is going to come from the dead, but I tell you who's going to come from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he, in his word, there are Bibles all over the place. In his word, he tells us the information that I'm telling you. And you can receive it or you can reject it today. You have that choice. There are people that heard Jesus Christ preach and still rejected what he said. Isn't that amazing? You know why? They had a world view that this life doesn't mean anything, and when we die, we just turn into nothing. They believed this lie, I might say. They believed this lie that even if there is a God, a loving God's going to have to accept me. He's going to have to accept everybody. That's a lie, according to the Word of God. You see. And so what I'm teaching you is extremely important, because eternity is a love story about a loving God who created us and put us on this earth to mature and grow and prepare to be with him forever in eternity. So once again, this life is like a schoolroom. It's like a classroom. It's a place where we learn about God. It's a place where we prepare for heaven. It's a place where, so it does make a difference what you believe in your life. If you believe the third world view, you believe there's a God, you believe he created us, you believe he has a destiny for us, and if you believe that, then you have to believe also that we are eternal. We do not cease to exist at death. In fact, death is just the beginning of eternity, where we're either going to be in heaven with God or in hell separated from him forever. So there is a heaven and there is a hell. I guarantee it, because the Son of the Living God said there is. You see. And I believe him. Now, I didn't always believe him. I grew up in church. I sang all the songs. Unfortunately, the church I was in did not preach the gospel. But the gospel was in the songs. I never forgot those songs. The old rugged cross. On a hill far away. I could sing that song when I was lost. Because I learned it in church. I didn't know God, but I knew about that old rugged cross. And stand up for Jesus. You see, those songs stayed in my head. And when I was 33 years old, God got my attention. And I'll tell you, he gets everybody's attention at one time or another. He got my dad's attention when he was 65, and that's when he accepted Christ. My mother was 60 when she accepted Christ. You see. And my mother went to church, as I said, all of her life and saw that I was there. But it was I was 33 years old, having problems in life. Ended up in a little church where they had an old preacher from Texas that loved Jesus. And he would preach the simplest messages about Jesus. You could tell he just loved the Lord. And one night I decided to go to church by myself. I very seldom ever did that. I went to church, and on the seventh stanza of a song that had eight stanzas, I went down that aisle and accepted Christ as my Savior. And then I began to learn the truth. Then I began to see the things of God. Then I began to understand the Bible. Then I began to understand that God had a plan for me. Then I began to understand that God was preparing me for something better than this life for all eternity. And God had a destiny for me. God had a plan for me. God had something to learn now and prepare for now that I would be with Him forever. And I'll tell you, I had a different attitude, a different motivation, a different reason to get up in the morning, you see. And that's what it's all about. And so we have a loving God, but a loving God cannot have sin in His presence. It's very clear. There'll be no sin in heaven. You see. So we deal with the sin problem here so that we will be able to be with Him there. And that's the way it is, you see. Now, it's important to me what my soul believes. It should be important to you what your soul believes. What is your motivation? What is your core value in your life? You see. Some people just kind of float around in life. They don't care. They don't care too much about tomorrow, the next day. They just live for today, and they don't care about God. They don't care about anything. And I will guarantee you that they'll find out at the end there is a God. Because the Bible says every single person will stand before God, some at the wedding and some at the white throne judgment, where they will be judged guilty for ignoring God in this life, and God's going to let you ignore Him throughout eternity, and it's going to be an awful place, you see. So, we want to love this God. We want to receive His love. We want to have a worldview that says exactly what the Word of God says. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be fights. There's going to be anger. There's going to be all these things. But through it all, the blood of Christ is going to save some. Are you listening to me? The blood of Christ is going to save some. They're going to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. They're going to be drawn to Christ, and Christ is going to come by the Holy Spirit and live within them because they have received the truth of the Creator God who is living and will live for eternity. Now, the issue is, it makes important what your view is. We call it a worldview. It makes a difference. Is there a God? If there is a God, does he love you? You see? That's important. Does he care about me? Yes, he does. Now, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about attitudes. You ever heard of anybody that needed an attitude adjustment? I won't ask if you ever needed one. I just said, do you know anybody that does? Attitudes play a great role in your soul for your soul health. It is important what your attitude is. Yeah. We need to choose our attitude. We can choose our attitude. Somebody says, oh, that's just the way I am. You have a choice. You can choose your attitude. In every circumstances in life, you can be a good person as far as your value system is concerned, but your attitude in life can be all wrong. You see, you ever been around somebody just negative about everything? I mean, there's nothing ever any good. Lousy attitude. And that reflects on your soul. That reflects on even what you believe. It reflects on what you do if you have a lousy attitude. You can major in what you do not have, or you can appreciate what you do have, you see. That's your choice, you see. And you can focus on what's wrong or you can focus on what's right. You can always look for defects in other people or you can look what's good about other people. What kind of a person are you? How is your attitude? Your attitude has to do with the health of your soul. Now, you ever been around anybody that's not thankful? It wouldn't make any difference what you did for them. They're not thankful. One of the things that people don't teach their kids today is to be thankful. And since they're not thankful, they believe they deserve everything. That's the attitude people have today. I deserve this. I deserve that. And they think it's owed them, and they're not thankful because, you see, they're not thankful for what Christ has done for them. They show it by the way they live. You can tell whether somebody is grateful to Christ or not. You can tell by the way they live, you see. You know, some people are just depressing to be around. Let's be honest. And you know that, and you know those people will say, I just don't understand why I don't have any friends. I just can't figure it out why I don't have any friends. Well, be friendly, the Bible says. Be thankful. Be loving. Be encouraging, you see. Some people, all they do is pick out and criticize their kids for everything they can find wrong in them instead of encourage them for what they do right. Maybe you grew up that way. You see. And so it makes a difference how you are. We're to be a friend, you see. Now, we need an attitude adjustment. I'm going to tell you how to get it. If you know where you came from, and you know where you're going, it'll make a difference in your attitude. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully. Now, you say, well, I came from my father and my mother, and I didn't like them too well. They didn't like me either. I'm going to tell you something. You didn't come from your father and your mother. You came from God. It was the seed of God that was planted in the womb of your mother that caused you to be. Life comes from God. Life has to come from life. If you know, the Bible says very simply, man without God is dead to the things of God. And so there's no way a dead person can bring life. It has to come from life. And so I can tell you right now, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of whether you knew your parents or not, regardless if you were adopted or not, regardless of any of those things, you had a father. His name is Father God. And he's still there. He's not going anyplace. He's still concerned about you. He wants the best for you. You can have a positive attitude. If you believe that you came from God and you believe that God has a plan for you and you believe you're going to God, it's going to make a difference every single day of your life. There won't be any routine average days. They're all going to be exciting because of what God did. Let's look at the scriptures quickly. John 17:8. John chapter 17 and verse 8. I'm going to show you where it says what I just said, where it says that in the Bible. John chapter 17 and verse 8. You know, I never thought about this too much until my uncle one time, 95 years old, said, "When does life begin?" Yeah, give me that one. Looking me in the eye. And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "People say conception or people say at birth." He says, "Life begins with God." I about ran out the door. I thought God. I thought God was talking to me. I tell you, he was talking to me. John 17 and verse 8. And this says, this is Jesus talking. "For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given to me, for they are yours." He's talking to the Father. "All are mine, all are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." That says very simply, you are a gift from God the Father to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look in John 14 and verse 28. John 14 and verse 28. "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now, in this particular scripture, Jesus said, I'm going to go unto the Father. Now, if you belong to Jesus, where are you going? To the Father. Absolutely correct. That's our destiny. That's our destiny if you're a Christian. You're going to go to the Father. Now, there's one other thing I want to look at, and we're going to quit here. Go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, he's talking about mankind, you and I, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So as you think in your heart, that's who you are. What you're thinking is who you are. You can control your thinking. Therefore, you can control your attitude. You can control what you think. That'll make a difference in your day. If you think you came from God, you're going to God, then you can think the things of God of this day and ask Him to help you in your life. It will change your attitude. You know, if I thought I was going to hell, I certainly wouldn't live like I am today. I asked a guy one time, he was a newspaper editor. And I asked him flat out, I said, you going to heaven or hell when you die? He said, I'm going to hell. He was a brilliant writer. He was an editor of a newspaper. And I talked to him about Jesus up one side and down the other, just like talking to that wall there. He had made up his mind that there is no God and nothing was going to change it. And as far as I know, he died without Christ. It's a sad thing. The attitude is extremely important. Now, the Bible says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. So we are to have the mind of Christ, you see. So you have to decide, is there life after death? Is there a God? If there is a God, we are responsible to Him. And if we're responsible to Him, what does He want us to do? That's the question. Let's stand before the Lord.